As you turn to Luke chapter 1, I'm going to light again the Advent candles. And we don't normally have a Christmas Eve service. We haven't had a service on Christmas Day. Just the calendar hasn't worked out that way in the time that I've been here. So this morning, we're going to light the Christ candle at the center of our wreath. And I should have lit this before to make sure it was going to. There it is. And I was thinking about lighting that center candle. And today we have all five candles that are burning. And I sort of thought about the question, why do we light candles? Why does our Christmas garland and our Christmas tree have lights on them? Well, the modern day twinkling or blinking lights is simply a technological advance from when people did put actual candles in their Christmas wreath or even on their Christmas tree. As scary as that may be for us to think about today, imagine having a live tree in your house for 3 or 4 weeks, slowly drying out, and we're going to put candles on it and light them on fire. But lighting candles goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years, in worship. Well, why is that Christ candle a burning light? Why are we turning on lights? Why are we lighting things? Why are we lighting candles in celebration of Christmas and of the Lord's birth? If you have turned to Luke chapter 1, we'll look at just verses 78 and 79. This is part of Zechariah's prophecy. We read the entire speech or the entire song on Wednesday evening. Zechariah is speaking specifically to what his son John the Baptist will do. But what John the Baptist does is precedes the ministry of Jesus Christ. And in verse 78 and 79, Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking for God, says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring or the sunrise from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Quite simply, we celebrate the birth of Christ by turning on our Christmas lights, by lighting Christmas candles, by lighting the candles of the Advent wreath, because that symbolizes that Jesus is the light of the world. We are naturally in the dark. We would be in the dark if God had not shown His light into the world to show us the way. We could not have found God if He had not come looking for us. I'm going to turn to three different passages of scriptures, and you could turn to each one of these, or I will certainly read them, and you can pay attention, but turn with me if you would. Let's go back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 1, and be reminded that in the beginning everything was dark. Genesis chapter 1 at verse 1. "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." In the beginning the world was dark. That's the first blank on your outline. In the beginning, the world was dark. That is the natural state of things unless something changes. Darkness is the absence of all light. Just like cold is the absence of heat. You can't add cold to something. You can't walk into a room in which you can see and add darkness to it. It is a negative. It is a void. Sometimes it's difficult to get kids to understand how the air conditioning works or the refrigerator. They'll tell you they make cold air. Well, you can't really make cold. What that machine really does is takes the air out of the space, sucks all the heat out of it, and then blows that cooled air back into the room or back into the refrigerator. You can move heat from one place to another. Everything in your refrigerator and your freezer is cold, but if you reach around in the back, it's hot back there because it's removing the heat. When we run the air conditioning during the summer outside, there's heat blowing out. You can move heat from one place to another. You can add heat by building a fire or by turning on something electric. You can add heat. We can make light. And those things are forms of energy. Left alone, things would be cold and things would be dark. They have to have energy. They have to have life added to them in order to warm them up. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And verse 4 tells us, God saw the light, and it was good. We tend to think of light as being good, as being joyous, as being a positive. Because like I've said, darkness is negative. It's a void. It is without energy. It is without life. God saw the light, and he saw that it was good, and he divided it from the darkness. When we're trying to sneak around, when we want to slip in someplace without being caught, you do that under the cover of darkness. The Bible tells us everything done in the dark will be brought to light, but that's a warning of judgment. In the beginning, the world was dark. And the only reason we have light is that God spoke it into existence. Naturally, the natural state of things is darkness. Turn to John chapter 1. And there again, we spent quite a bit of time reading through the Gospel of John. But it's been a while since we read chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Your second outline point, His life was the light of men. Verse 4 tells us, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life was the light of men. And if we continue reading, verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. That's what Zechariah spoke of in Luke chapter 1. Zechariah prophesies that his son John would precede the light coming into the world. Zechariah says, it's like we live in darkness. Jesus was about to be born, and Zechariah said, the sun is coming up on the world. We are in the pre-dawn hour, and God is about to send His light into the world. This is going to be like morning. It's going to be like sunrise when the Son of God comes into the world. John, speaking of Jesus, the Word of God that became flesh, and he will say so a few verses later, He was life, and His life was the light of men. And the light shined into darkness, in verse 5, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's actually an archaic word, if you're looking in King James or the New King James, to help our understanding. The light did not overtake it. I'm sorry, the darkness. The light shined into darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. The darkness has not conquered the light. Darkness is negative. It's void. There's nothing there. Light is something. It's energy. It's positive. No matter how big and dark it is outside, if you light a single candle If you light the smallest bulb, you'll be able to see. Darkness flees in the presence of light. The light of the world is Jesus. And he come into the world, and the darkness can do nothing but hide in the corner, withdraw, retreat. John came from God to bear witness to that light. Verse 9 says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. We read the Christmas story usually from Matthew and from Luke. That is the birth of Jesus right there in John chapter 1, verse 9. That's the incarnation. The birth is simply part of the story. God becoming incarnate deity, him becoming Emmanuel, God with us. That's the miracle that happens in Bethlehem. And it didn't end in Bethlehem. He walked on the earth. He grew, the Bible says, in wisdom and in stature. He called to himself disciples. He walked from Galilee and to Jerusalem and through Samaria. And there were huge crowds following him around. And we've talked before about those crowds. Some of those people were interested in hearing what he had to say so they could make an honest judgment about him. Some of those were his critics and his detractors, and some of them sought to find fault in each thing he said so they would have something to accuse him with. There was a huge crowd in that multitude. Many of them were simply curious. Some of them were seeking the kingdom of God. Some of them were so convinced they knew how to get to the kingdom of God, they wanted to kill Jesus just to shut him up because they didn't like what he was saying. But the light came into the world, and that was his life and his ministry. If we read a little further in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Let's read just that verse. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life. His life became the light of men. And in that usage, men is men and women and children, and it's all people. It is humanity. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And your final blank is, we are called to share the light. We could write, share the light. You could put, send the light. You could put, shine the light. That is our calling. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 14, he said, you are the light of the world. If everyone here was holding a candle, and perhaps you did this at the candlelight Christmas Eve service, or perhaps you've been somewhere and they did this, you've been there, you've seen it. If we each had a candle, we could take one candle that was lit, and I could come around and light each one of your candles. But that's not necessary. I could light Jack's candle, and the flame from Jack's candle could light Rachel's. And Rachel could turn and share that flame with someone else. You don't have to give it away. Your flame isn't gone. When you share that with someone else, now there's two. I share the flame with Jack, and he shares it with Rachel. And when I light Wadeen's candle, she could share that with Ella Ruth and with RT, or Ella Ruth could turn and light RT's candle. Each one of us could share with another person till everyone had their candle burning and the room would be lit. And that's what the light that Jesus brings to the world is like. Once my eyes are open to the light, the very next thing I'm called to do is share that with another person so they can see and they can understand who Jesus is and what God has done for us. We are called to share, to send, to shine, to give light in the world. Jesus in his ministry said, I am the light of the world. But then he told his followers, you are the light. You are the salt of the earth. No one lights a candle and hides it under a basket. You put it on a candlestick. You put your lamp on the lampstand so it can shine light for the whole house. Turn with me, or just listen carefully. to 2 Peter, and this will be the last passage of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read just one verse, verse 9. 2 Peter 2, 9. And it's not the right verse. Oh, no. I've written my notes down incorrectly. Let me turn back and look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Thank goodness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm glad I was able to find it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. At the beginning of the world was dark, and God said, "Let there be light." And later He appointed the sun to shine over the day and the moon and the stars to shine at night. God created light at His spoken command. Even though the world physically was lit, humanity groped about in spiritual darkness. And the Word that was in the beginning with God, and the Word that was in the beginning that was God, became our light and shined into this world. Zechariah says the sun is about to come up. And John wrote that indeed He did. Jesus Himself said, "I am the light of the world. And you don't have to walk in darkness. You can come and follow Me." Psalm 119, and I think it's verse 104 or 105, says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my path, a light to my feet." I just butchered that verse. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There it is. Thank you, Truth. His word shows us the way. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It didn't just show us the way, it was the light. And then when we've seen it, when we've come to the knowledge of salvation, when we have seen the light, when our spiritual eyes are open, when we're no longer blind and in darkness, we go out and we share that light with others. Some people don't want to see it. They don't want to hear your witness and your testimony, but to all that will hear and receive, His life will become the light of their world as well. Peter says to believers in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "You are a royal priesthood." To all believers everywhere, He says, "You are a holy nation. You are His own special people that He has called out of darkness and into His marvelous light." That's why we lit this candle this morning. That's why every burning candle, every flame of fire, every Christmas light, every twinkling bulb, every electric light is a reminder that we would be in real darkness and in spiritual darkness if God hadn't sent us a light. Let's pray together.